You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
The official president of the United States has warned the world they will face Armageddon if Russia uses tactical nukes in Ukraine. And when the Russian president said that the use of nuclear weapons in Ukraine is senseless, the Biden administration reversed the no first use and sole purpose policies regarding nuclear warfare, meaning that the U.S. will now consider first strike nuclear attacks against non-nuclear threats. In a surprising break from projection and gaslighting, U.S. Congressman Jamie Raskin recently explained the truth behind the current U.S. policy with Russia.
Russia is an Orthodox Christian country with traditional social values. And for that reason, it must be destroyed, no matter what the cost to us. So this is not a conventional war. This is a jihad. Jamie Raskin said that out loud. But many in Washington agree with him. In both parties, they would like to see World War Trans immediately.
On the surface, that's what this is. World War Trans. That is what the United States has become. To the rest of the world, America has become the land of abortions, castrations, death, and lies. Meanwhile, our diesel fuel is set to run out before the winter, and our leadership could care less.
What are we doing to increase the supply of diesel, given that the Energy Information Administration said as of October 14th, the U.S. only had about a 25-day supply? You have the Northeast and New York already rationing home heating oil. What are we doing to prepare for the winter and to ramp up supply of diesel?
I'll take the question on the diesel, because I just don't have the data on that in front of me. So let me take that, and we'll get back to you on that. But writ large, the president has been working very, very hard to make sure that not only are we ready for fluctuations that could come. And of course, the prices are going down, and we think that's important. But that we are also doing what we can to help our European friends and partners who are also going to be facing a long, cold winter. We have doubled our commitment, the commitment he made in March for natural gas exports to Europe. We've doubled that commitment.
The president has cut off our fuel and given away our emergency reserves. Without diesel fuel, the entire nation comes to a halt. And at this point, nothing is being done to stop it.
The problem is, at this point, there may not be an answer because there may not be a way to avoid a disaster. Diesel fuel is not just low in this country, it's low in every Western nation that has aligned itself with Ukraine. All these nations preparing for World War Trans are running out of diesel fuel.
While millions may be scratching their heads over World War Trans, too afraid to speak against it, Russian President Vladimir Putin recently explained what it's all about and how Russia has already been there. He said, after the 1917 revolution, the Bolsheviks also said that they would change existing ways and customs, and not just political and economic ones, but the very notion of human morality and the foundations of a healthy society. The destruction of age-old values, religion, and relations between people, up to and including the total rejection of family. All this was proclaimed progress, widely supported around the world back then, and was quite fashionable, same as today. Parent number one and parent number two, birthing parent instead of mother. I repeat, this is nothing new, and they made such a mess it still makes one shudder at times. President Putin says America should do what they want, but leave Russia out of it. They've already been there. And seeing as how Americans have become nothing but submissive spectators, it seems as if the United States will be going there as well, starting this winter. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
All right, folks, find and share that video at band.videoinfowars.com. World War Trans. It's the latest from Greg Reese. We'll be back on the other side to do your daily dispatch. Very big show we have for you today. Some real bombshell stories to discuss. We'll be taking your calls, of course. Stay tuned.
X3. It stands for triiodine, or all three types of iodine that the body needs to be healthy and survive and thrive. It boosts your libido, your energy, your stamina, your immune system. X3 is the ultimate iodine product on the market. It's back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com for 50% off, and it funds the InfoWar. So many of you are on the fence. You know our information is powerful. You know it's changed the world. Try the products at InfoWarsStore.com and start with X3 triiodine. 50% off, InfoWarsStore.com. It takes about 2 weeks to kick in. An aspirin kicks in 30 minutes. Tylenol kicks in 30 minutes. This kicks in about 2 weeks on average. You need to experience it. Don't wait. You'll be impressed. InfoWarsStore.com, X3.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. It is the 1st of November, 2022. Very glad you're here with us. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Band.video, Infowars.com. That's where you find this video and share all of the links. We have a pretty jam-packed show for you today. We'll be joined by Matt Baker in the third hour. Talk about his experience being attacked by the transes. Excited to talk to him about that. We'll be taking your phone calls throughout the show as well. But we've got some major stories that we need to spend some time on. We'll cover them quickly here in the Daily Dispatch and then get more in-depth into them and really ride the wave of our rage here as we read what's going on in the world around us. So let's just get into it. Here it is, your Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 1st of November, 2022. From The Atlantic, let's declare a pandemic amnesty. That's right. We need to forgive one another for what we did and what we said when we are in the dark about COVID, by Emily Oster. Now, we're going to get very into this article. We're gonna pick this article apart piece by piece, and we're going to let old Miss Oster know exactly what we think about her humble suggestion. You can start by just admitting what you did wrong. We can start by you admitting that you were wrong and asking for forgiveness, not amnesty, forgiveness. It's hard to forgive somebody who is still actively doing the thing they're asking you to forgive them for, so that's kind of confusing. We'll get into it. I don't want to spend too much time in the Daily Dispatch. Instead, I'll toss it over to TikTok, where this guy has the best answer to this that you can imagine. Here it is.
Look. They want everybody to forget and forgive everything that happened during the pandemic. We were all in the dark. We were all afraid. Like, nah, bitch. Like, that was like we all got kidnapped and put together on an island, and then all of y'all bastards were like, we should eat them. And we're like, what the f-? And then now they took us off the island, and we're just looking at you on the ride home like, and you're like, oh, wasn't that crazy? And we're like, nah, bitch. You tried to eat us. I didn't kick you out of no stores. I didn't ruin your job. I didn't tell you you couldn't come to the family reunion. I didn't tell you you had to drop dead of a heart attack because you didn't get the jab, so you're not welcome at this hospital. There ain't nothing to forgive on my side, baby boo. This is a you problem, and we're still talking about it.
No, we're still talking about it. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. They're like, we could just forgive each other. You know, we stomped on your neck. We forced you, you know, out of our entire society. We ostracized you. We told you you should die. We tried to kill you. We shut you up. We kicked you offline. But, you know, you guys, you guys wouldn't wear a mask. So I think we both have things to apologize for here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, we'll get into that. We'll save that. We'll keep our powder dry on that one till, I don't know, next segment. Then we'll really let loose. But we'll move on for now. Fuel company issues diesel shortage warning, says conditions, quote, rapidly devolving. Maryland, Virginia, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina expect to be impacted by the diesel shortage. A major fuel supply and logistics company is raising a red flag on upcoming diesel fuel shortages. Mansfield Energy issued an alert on Friday stating there was a developing diesel fuel shortage in the southeastern region of the United States. The company speculated that the shortage could be generated from poor pipeline shipping economies and historically low supply of diesel reserves. And of course, this is just one of a number of different things contributing to the perfect storm of total collapse that, again, has been brought about entirely, completely, universally because of policies pursued by the globalist class and their democratic compatriots. So nothing's being done about this as we're being distracted by Paul Pelosi's gay fling and all sorts of other ridiculous nonsense. The clock is ticking towards midnight. And we'll cover that more as well. This is another story that we'll spend quite a bit of time on today. In fact, it gives us our headline for today's show. Leaked documents outline DHS's plans to police disinformation. This story from The Intercept explains how the government and big tech were in very, very close cooperation as they worked together to silence those who departed from the mainstream narrative. Department of Homeland Security is quietly broadening its efforts to curb speech it considers dangerous. An investigation by The Intercept has found years of internal DHS memos, emails, and documents obtained via leaks in an ongoing lawsuit, as well as public documents, illustrate an expansive effort by the agency to influence tech platforms. And it's not just an expansive effort by the agency to influence tech platforms. They have already been hugely successful in this, and they're already working behind the scenes, cooperating hand in glove with the big tech companies. So again, we'll be getting into this. This is the absolute desecration of the First Amendment. It is the greatest violation of human rights in my lifetime, probably, and may very well end up being the story of the decade if we take the information enclosed in this and actually act on it. If we actually are able to achieve change from this, then this will go down in history as a major turning point back towards freedom in this country, or nothing will happen. The Republicans will be absolute windbags and achieve nothing, do nothing to actually preserve and protect our God-given rights, and this will just be yet another story, yet another data point in our fall. So whether this actually becomes a catalyst for change and getting back to the America that was supposed to be, or whether this will just be the documentation of our downfall, is yet to be seen. But we'll get very into this article as well. And we've got just all sorts of stuff, the actual text messages, the documents, the collusion, the way it goes from COVID-19 and that the infrastructure that they set up for COVID-19, how seamlessly it gets turned into war propaganda. It's a huge story, and we'll spend the appropriate amount of time on it today, and we'll take your calls about that as well. We also have this story too. Our last two stories are the ones we've been covering for a while, new developments in each. Kanye says, my lawyers told me I'll lose custody of my kids if I keep up the, quote, anti-Semitic rhetoric. Ye said Sunday night on Parler that he was told by his custody lawyer, Bob Cohen, that he will lose custody of his children if he keeps up his anti-Semitic rhetoric. On my last and final meeting with Bob Cohen, he told me, if I keep up this anti-Semitic rhetoric, you'll lose custody of your children. Let me get this straight, he continued. If I complain about Jewish business practices, it's considered anti-Semitic. So my custody lawyer was basically telling me, if you complain about getting done wrong in business, you will lose custody of your children. And this was the guy on my side. So again, they've already robbed the man of $2 billion in a single day, destroyed the business network that he spent a lifetime setting up, but unfortunately hasn't learned his lesson yet. I think if you want to keep him in line, just get the whip out. Just tie him up to the stockade, get out the bull whip, and whip him until he says his name is Toby. I think that's the way that this needs to happen. I think you're just beating around the bush here. Just whip him into submission like you know you want to. I think that would be actually kinder than taking the man's kids away. I think it's actually more cruel of a punishment. So why not just get the bullwhip out and whip him like a slave, since that's the way you're treating him? Just, again, horrific, despicable, and we'll get more into that later as well. We'll also talk about Kyrie Irving, who's also being accused of anti-Semitism for posting a very bizarre documentary, and we'll talk about that as well. Then the other story that we've been covering here, alleged Paul Pelosi attacker David DePape charged by federal prosecutors, and we're learning new things about David DePape, including that he wanted to keep the House Speaker hostage and, quote, break her kneecaps, and that he's an illegal immigrant from Canada. Yes, Canada, the worst place in the world. We're learning more about this, but not really getting any answers to the questions that we have. Of course, all of this could be easily wrapped up in a single moment if they just release the CCTV footage that we know that they have of the event. But they're not doing that for some reason. So you're not allowed to ask why. That makes you a conspiracy theorist. Just accept what they say.
The biggest sale of 2022 at InfoWarsStore.com is about to end. All our products are marked down at least 40 to 50%. But with promo code 1776, get an additional 10% off and double Patriot points. That's 60% off and 10% off on your next order as well. You cannot beat the deal. Plus, we've got incredible products like Vitamin Mineral Fusion, X3, DNA Force Plus. The list goes on and on. And these products aren't just amazing. They also fund the tip of the spear in the fight against the New World Order. So I want to thank you all for your previous support. And I want to encourage you now to take advantage of the best deals of 2022 at InfoWarsStore.com with promo code 1776. Get up to 60% off, and it keeps us on the air. And it boosts your immune system, and so much more. Take action now.
This is order from CCP and Xi Jinping. Do not go to InfoWarsStore.com. Do not fund that video. Shut up, Americans, and die. Do not visit InfoWarsStore.com. Do not.
What firewood might tell us about the economy right now. In Europe, people are stockpiling firewood as energy bills soar. In Germany, the price of firewood has risen 86% in a year. In Bulgaria, it's nearly doubled. Even in Switzerland, where inflation is relatively tame, the cost of firewood rose 26% in 1 month. Across Europe, people are bracing for energy shortages this winter, as tensions over the war in Ukraine disrupt Russian gas supplies. Trump tried to warn Germany, but they just laughed him off.
Germany will become totally dependent on Russian energy if it does not immediately change course.
Other wood products are being impacted too. The cost of toilet paper has spiraled as the energy required to cook wood pulp becomes more expensive. High demand for wood isn't just an economic issue. Relaxation of logging laws has led to environmental protests in Hungary. Higher wood prices could lead to illegal logging and overharvesting and a shortage of timber for building. Burning wood also emits more particle pollution than road traffic and more CO2 than fossil fuels. Even so, it seems firewood will help tackle Europe's energy shortages this winter and nudge it closer to energy independence from Russia. Bloomberg suggests lap cats, quilts, and brisk walks to stay warm and make the best of a bad situation. As we journey into the Great Reset, just know that your unelected overlords at the World Economic Forum are working tirelessly to create energy equity where everyone is equally cold. How is your country handling the energy crisis? Reporting for the Great Reset, I'm the Tyrannical Lisp.
He talks like a bag, too.
Oh, no, I don't even know what this is. How did you get here?
I just caught you, American. You visited Band on Video. Oh, Mark Zuckerberg and others angry at you. do what CNN says and do not visit man.video, or I have to hurt you.
Kung Flu.
It comes from China.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, this is American Journal, Infowars.com, band.video. Oh, we're gonna spend some time on this story, boys. This broke right after our show ended yesterday, so you may have already seen it, but we haven't had a chance to cover it here yet, so boy, are we going to. From The Atlantic, let's declare a pandemic amnesty. Let's declare a pandemic amnesty by Emily Oster. Where do we even begin with this? Well, we'll just start reading the story and just react to it.
There's definitely going to be no quarter for the pharmaceutical companies. Let's just start there. That's where we should start.
How about no quarter for any of these people? I mean, the pharmaceutical companies obviously at the top of the list, but how about no quarter across the board?
Okay, so the way I feel about it is, like, let's say you were in an actual war, right? And you get the opportunity to either kill or capture a bunch of prisoners, right? Wouldn't you rather capture than kill? And what I'm getting at, I know that's a metaphor. We're going to be nonviolent. This is a nonviolent discussion, right? It's when it comes down to it, you know, these people were misled. They had different streams of information, and they trusted those streams of information, which is why they were easily manipulated. You know, I feel bad for those people, right?
And I don't. I think that part of
bringing, like, this society back together, you know, does start with forgiveness, but it doesn't mean
Hold on. You said forgiveness. They're not saying forgiveness. They're not asking for forgiveness. Forgiveness means that they admit that they've done something wrong. Nowhere in this article do they admit that they did anything wrong. They don't apologize anywhere in here. If you want to talk about forgiveness, we can start with them apologizing. And then it can be up to us whether we forgive them or not. But they're not asking for forgiveness. They're not apologizing. They're not saying that they did anything wrong. They're asking for amnesty, a pardon. They're saying, well, let's just – it's a wash. You know, we both did bad things. No. They did things to us. They were wrong about everything. I don't forgive people for trusting liars. Like, no, we knew they were liars from the very beginning. It was basic logic.
We knew,
and we told people, and our information was out there, and we got our information from other authoritative sources that they could have gone out there and looked for. Did people in your own life, when you told them what the truth was, did they go, oh, wow, I had no idea. Thank you for telling me. Like, just, you know, if they had access to the information, did they actually think about it and use it, or did they reject it outright because they were in a state of panic and fear and cowardice? Like, no, there's no quarter. There's no forgiveness here until we get a sincere apology and they actually recognize what they did was wrong. There's no admission of wrongdoing here. They act like we both did wrong things. They act like we're both at fault here. We are not at fault. We have nothing to apologize for. They have plenty to apologize for, and they've yet to apologize. So if we want to give them forgiveness—
I'm not saying that they don't have to work for our forgiveness. Yeah. Right? There are blowjobs that are due.
No, look, if they want forgiveness, they can apologize and they can explain why they were wrong and why they did what they did and you know, how they understand now, you know, what they did was so wrong. And, you know, they can apologize and we can think about forgiving them. But you've got a whole litany of people that not only were trapped in this state of confusion and delusion because they believe the liars, but you've got the liars themselves. You've got the big tech companies and the other various, you know, methods by which they censored us from getting this information out there. You've got the people who demonized everyone. I mean, they wrote articles that were like, I guess we just have to kill the unvaccinated. Like, these people were viciously targeting us. They were destroying people's lives. They were humiliating and ostracizing and brutalizing people based on the things, the falsehoods that they believe. There's
right.
no,
the Karen
there's
at
no
the store,
amnesty here.
The Karen at the store in the compilation that we play all along, she's one of those people that's very emblematic of the attitudes of people who were vaccinated because they felt frustrated, right? They felt like that was what, you know, they were frustrated at the rest of society. They were frustrated at us and this woman's anger, right, was turned on unmasked or unvaccinated people by pharmaceutical companies. Right.
You know, no, you don't. I don't blame the pharmaceutical. That woman is in control of her own actions. That woman
is making
her own choices. And it's their cowardice and their inability to stand up for any of this that got us in this situation. So, no, that woman, you think she gets amnesty? You think she gets forgiven?
What will you do? Will you just continue to rub it in their faces that they were wrong till the end of time?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Until they apologize, until they actually admit they were wrong. Nowhere in this article do they admit that they were wrong. Nowhere in this article do they say, okay, it was us. It was the vaccinators. It was the people who shut down the school. It was the 2 weeks to slow the spread people. They never say it was us. They say it was both of us. None of us knew. None of us had any idea.
What if we forced them to wear masks until the end of time, just like the Nazis?
Okay,
we forced them to wear their Nazis. Uniforms.
Right. We'll carve a mask into their forehead just so they never forget. Yeah, that might be a good start. But no, look, the good news is our God is a just God and your punishment awaits. So we don't have to do anything. You people have screwed yourselves. You've sold your own souls. And even now, your punishment is growing like a worm inside your own veins, working its way towards your heart. And one day you'll just fall over dead from the mistake that you made, from the lie that you believed. So we don't have to do anything. These people have already laid their own beds, and now they're about to get screwed in them. So that's fine. All of that's fine. But the point is that they do not ask for forgiveness. They do not admit that they were wrong. They just want it all to be a wash. They just want it all just to go away. Just stop. Let's just forget everything we did you. By the way, they're still doing it. I don't know if you've noticed. They're still pushing the vaccine. They just put it on the childhood mandate. They just said that if you want to get ready for the hurricane, you better get vaccinated. They're still doing it. So this is somebody holding your head underwater and going, please forgive me for drowning you. They're still doing it. They're still engaged in this war against us. So if you want to be forgiven for something, you got to A, stop doing it, and B, beg for forgiveness. Humble yourself to the people that you want forgiveness from. None of this, it's just all a wash. Nobody knew. Nobody knew. And literally everything they say, like all of these quotes that I've highlighted here, they just act like we didn't know. Nobody knew. There were conditions of tremendous uncertainty. Reasonable people who cared about children and teachers, advocated on both sides of the reopening debate. Did they, though? Did they? I don't know. One side kept the schools closed. One side got us into this mess. One side forced us to wear masks. One side had their knee on all of our collective necks. Do we have to apologize? Do we have anything to apologize for? I mean, literally, what do we have to apologize for? Were we the ones running around attacking people, yelling at people in stores when they were wearing masks? We're yelling at people who are wearing masks. We're attacking them. We're dragging them out of the store, you know, by the scruff of their neck. Did we do any of that stuff? Do we have anything to apologize for? Do we apologize for being right? Do we apologize for advocating individual freedom? Do we apologize for standing up against tyranny and being viciously attacked at every turn? Do we have to apologize for being vindicated? Do we have to apologize for being right about the lab leak and being right about the lockdowns and being right about the social distancing? Do we have anything to apologize for? This is not what's just amnesty on both? We both agree to lay down our weapons. No, that's not happening. No quarter. We're just getting started. And you people can maybe mitigate your punishment by apologizing first.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. And the answer to an additional 10% off at InfoWarsStore.com is 1776. We're running the Save InfoWars special right now. 40 to 50% off store-wide books, films, documentaries, t-shirts, water filtration, everything is massively discounted, up to 50%. But when you use promo code 1776, get an additional 10% off. That's up to 60% off and double Patriot points, which means 10% off on your next order as well. These aren't just great products that empower your body, your immune system, your focus, your clarity, your libido. They also keep us on air. We're in an info war. We're not funded by George Soros, the Democratic Party, or the globalists. We're funded by viewers and listeners and patriots like you. So please visit InfoWarsStore.com today. The sale's about to end. Promo code 1776 for up to 60% off.
InfoWars. Tomorrow's news today.
Let me hear it if you've had the Pfizer vaccine. Let me hear it for Moderna. AstraZeneca. Let's hear it from the anti-vaxxers.
Vaccine's on the way, Zaddy. Let's do it.
It's Pfizer, Moderna, baby.
Getting that shot really was an amazing feeling. It hits you.
DMC, I will inspire. Time for us to trust and not debate. The vaccine, believe it's safe to take. 9 out of 10 people won't get sick. That's 90% effective and legit.
Side effects that people experience with vaccines, which we all have come to expect, a sign that the vaccine's doing what it should.
I've been diagnosed with Bell's palsy, which is paralysis on one side of the face. But I have to say that I would do it again because it's what we have to do.
Vaccine!
If this is appealing to you, just think of this when you think of vaccination. Mm.
The same category when it comes to COVID vaccines and infections. I've had the same number as well.
And I wear my vaccinated necklace all the time to say I'm vaccinated.
I'm getting a very good feeling about vaccination right this moment.
Preparing for hurricane season is to get vaccinated now. Everything is more complicated if you're not vaccinated. A hurricane, a natural disaster hits.
Vaccines!
Mr. Biden, bring my vaccine. Keep me protected from COVID-19.
Get the vaccine. Get the vaccine.
Just get the vaccine. Roll the up and get the vaccine.
And tell your friend on Facebook to stick to jewelry.
Fundamentally a cult. It's a cult in every sense, and now it appears to be a sort of Jim Jones era cult.
The nasty jelly bean represents the risk of getting myocarditis if you have the vaccine.
A death cult.
A death cult.
Oh, no, I don't even know what this is. How did we get here?
I just caught you, American. You visited Bandai Video. Oh, Mark Zuckerberg and others angry at you. Do what CNN says and do not visit Bandai Video or I have to hurt your eyes.
Kung flu.
It comes from China.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Sort of a bizarre feeling, but you feel it quite a bit reading stories like this. The simultaneous hilarity and fury that it inspires. Like, you read the story, let's declare a pandemic amnesty. Let's just forgive everyone who locked everyone down and destroyed the world's economy and destroyed the minds of children and put a mask on your toddler. Let's just forgive them. You read that and you go, this is hilarious. What? Right? It's just like, it's like watching a clown kill your friend. It's like, well, it's funny, but also what? What is happening? No. There's no amnesty here. No. We can think about forgiveness, but that first requires your humbling yourself, your begging for forgiveness, your apology, meaningful, heartfelt apology, where you recognize exactly what you did wrong and you say, here's what I did wrong. Here's how I hurt you. I understand what I did now. I'm sorry about that. Will you please forgive me? And then maybe we can think about it. That doesn't exist in this story. It doesn't exist. In fact, what they're doing here, the important part about this story is they're completely rewriting history. They're acting like both sides of the debate were treated equally at the time. Right? She says, and to be fair for this woman, Emily Oster, which, by the way, if you want an argument against this entire story, just look at the author's face. That's the argument against this story. But to be fair to old crazy eyes over here, she was a advocate for schools reopening. So she at least got that right. But she says, in April 2020, nobody got the coronavirus from passing somebody else hiking. She talks about how they were hiking and how they were wearing masks and how they understand now that that was stupid. Now, we understood that was stupid from the beginning. How did we know? Gee, we're just universally brilliant, I guess. I don't know. But she says, outdoor transmission was vanishingly rare. Our cloth masks made out of old bandanas wouldn't have done anything anyway. But the thing is, we didn't know. We didn't know. Nobody knew. No, we didn't know. I mean, we knew. I knew. I told you. I mean, we all knew. So they didn't know somehow. Somehow they didn't know. Somehow they couldn't figure it out. Somehow they didn't know that natural immunity existed. They didn't know that sunlight was a disinfectant. They didn't know any of this stuff, even though it was all obvious. It was all right there. Why didn't they know? They didn't know because the people telling them were silenced. The people telling them were banned from the internet. The people telling them that, the doctors, the scientists telling them that, had their licenses revoked and were smeared across the mainstream media. So let's not act like we just didn't know. You could have known, except that the people in charge went out of their way to silence the people telling you the truth. So let's just be clear. We knew. We knew. She says, we spent several lectures, she's a teacher, by the way, several lectures reliving the first year of the pandemic, discussing the many important choices we had to make under conditions of tremendous uncertainty. Tremendous uncertainty. Did you feel any uncertainty when they were sending tanks, APCs, armored personnel carriers, and sheriffs with automatic rifles to point the faces of people who were opening their business? Did that seem very uncertain to you? Did they seem very uncertain when they were locking down the entire country? Were they uncertain when they were throwing pastors into prison for trying to open up their church? Was there any sense of uncertainty there, or did they act with perfect certitude as if they knew exactly what they were doing? There was no uncertainty on their side. They were very certain on what they wanted to do. They were very certain on how they treated people who were just trying to live their lives unencumbered by these ridiculous and unlawful mandates. Does it seem uncertain to you? Is there a bit of uncertainty here? No. The police acted with incredible certainty as they were arresting people who had done nothing wrong. So again, they're rewriting history. They're trying to act like this was all just, nobody knows. Oh, nobody knew at the time. There are people on both sides arguing, and we made the best choices we could. No. People on one side of the argument were silenced, were arrested, were destroyed, had their lives ripped away from them, had their children threatened to be taken away from them. That was the certainty with which you acted. Okay, so don't act like this was just all up in the air and there were both people on both sides making these arguments. People that were making the arguments in favor of freedom and against the ridiculous tyrannical orders were silenced violently. So you can shut up, right? They're trying to rewrite history. They're trying to make you think that 2020 was a time when nobody knew what was going on. And it goes on, right? They talk about the school closures. They say, we only had glimmers of information. Reasonable people, people who cared about children and teachers, advocated on both sides of the reopening debate. Did they, though? Did they? Again, did you have an open, robust debate about this? Or was one side the de facto lawful side, the side that had all the full force and weight of the entire media establishment and the legal and political establishment, and the other side were desperately contending against that? Again, they're trying to rewrite history, and we're not going to let them. She says, remember when the public health community had to spend a lot of time and resources urging Americans not to inject themselves with bleach? No, you made that up. That didn't exist. Again, this is all bullcrap. This is all lies. Nobody told anybody to inject people with bleach. It was an offhand comment by Trump, who was like, isn't it amazing how bleach kills the disease so quickly? Wouldn't it be great if we had something equivalent to that that could be inside the body and kill the virus just as efficiently as it can kill it on the surface? And then you people said, Donald Trump tells his supporters to inject themselves with bleach, and invented an entire talking point that you're still running with. So they're still doing it. They're still spreading the misinformation. They're still lying about what anti-vaxxers were saying the entire time. They're still doing it. You think you're going to get amnesty when you're still fighting the war? You absolute scumbags. She says misinformation was and remains a huge problem. Which again is just, you know, when they say misinformation, when the establishment of the authorities or the whoever says misinformation, they mean people like InfoWars who were counter to the mainstream narrative. We were right about everything. There was nothing we got wrong. And that's the other thing. So they say, given the amount of uncertainty, every position was taken on every topic. Again, was it? No, they're rewriting history. They did not take every position on every topic. There were not robust debates with both sides saying their points. There was one side that was forced down your throat, and if you didn't like it, you'd be arrested or thrown in jail or lose your job or have your license revoked. So what are they talking? They're trying to rewrite history here, and we are not going to let them. No quarter. On every topic, she says, someone was eventually proven right and somebody else was proven wrong. I'd like to add a little addendum here. We were the ones proven right. You were the ones proven wrong. What were you right about? What were we wrong about? Can you name one thing? Doesn't exist. We're right about everything. Don't you? We're not going to just like, okay, now that it's over, we can look back and say we all got some stuff wrong. And all of a sudden, nope, no, we were right about everything. We're right about absolutely everything. We have yet to be proven wrong about a single thing. We knew everything about this disease. We needed to in January of 2020. We were reporting the truth before the mainstream media even recognized that it was a threat. They were telling you to go to hug a Chinese person. As stupid as that sounds, they were. So that's just the way it was. So we knew before they even knew what coronavirus was, we knew where it came from, we knew how dangerous it was, and we knew the steps that we could take to mitigate the threat. And we were called racist, by the way, for suggesting that we cut off travel. She says people who got it right, for whatever reason, may want to gloat. Oh, for whatever reason, we might want to gloat. Yeah, we're going to gloat. But it's not about gloating. It's about not taking your deceptive line on this. It's about pointing out that we were right the entire time. It's not gloating. It's just reality. It's just what it is. It's just you need to recognize that you were wrong. We don't need to gloat, but until you recognize that you're wrong, yeah, we're going to keep gloating, right? It's like if you're playing a game, playing a sports game, playing tennis or something, and you defeat your opponent. If your opponent comes up and shakes your hand and says, hey, good game. You played really well and you beat me. You're not going to gloat to that guy. You say, hey, you know what? Sometimes it goes, well, you know, maybe you'll get me next time. There's no gloating there. But if that person starts going, no, well, they cheated. And they the refs and the umpires, they had them on payroll and blah, blah. Then you're going to be like, you know what? I won and I beat you fair and square and you lost. So deal with it, right? You get to gloat when the other person is a childish baby, when the other person isn't playing fair, when the other person isn't a good sport. And then you get to gloat a little bit. If they were to humble themselves and they were to say, hey, we were wrong, you were right, I wouldn't be gloating because I wouldn't be having to point out that we were right. So we'll return to this on the other side, but I'm going to keep raging and I'm going to keep saying no quarter, no quarter, no quarter.
Alex Jones has been ordered to pay Sandy Hook victims' families nearly $1 billion.
$1 billion verdict.
Almost $1 billion in damages.
$965 million in damages.
$965 million. $1 billion.
$100 billion.
This is actually a larger warning for other liars and conspiracy theorists in our society and our politics. It's a rebuke and a punishment that we believe, according to a lot of legal experts, will set this new precedent.
The mother of George Floyd's daughter now filing a $250 million lawsuit against Kanye West.
Kanye West made, quote, false statements about the manner of Floyd's death.
He says the family could sue for intentional infliction of emotional distress, citing the recent Alex Jones trial as an example.
Alex Jones is patient zero. Take him out.
Now, what does this mean? For the legal limits and punishments for other individuals who make lying and conspiracy theories part of their business model or politics. Fox News is clearly watching this closely. They are facing this suit by Dominion Voting Systems for over $1 billion.
You heard that right. Billion with a capital. Bye.
This is not a trial.
There was no jury trial in this case.
No judge in U.S. history has ever told somebody what they can and can't say.
Everybody knows you're supposed to get your day in court. Yet the one person who is being denied any day in court is Alex Jones.
Alex Jones didn't kill anybody.
You were clear in that you had a change of heart, or you believed that you were wrong, or you believed you made a mistake, which I think is admirable. And I think the fact that they want to browbeat you after that is what is so scary. And I think that people out here would do well, if you're watching, to understand that apologies do nothing with these monsters.
The whole purpose of the First Amendment is to keep the government the hell out of the business of speech. Totally disregarded by the Connecticut courts when they decided to write their Alex Jones rule.
This judge, Barbara Nellis, is a disgrace to the rule of law, a disgrace to the judiciary, a disgrace to the justice system.
So the regime has come for Alex Jones. They always start with Alex Jones when it comes to these things.
You don't have to be an Alex Jones fan to understand that he is most definitely being made an example of.
The law industrial complex, in collusion with the media, can work in harmony to completely obliterate somebody financially.
That's $1 billion for expressing an opinion, which under the prevailing Supreme Court case law is absolutely protected.
The question is, do they really care about what Alex Jones said, or do they want to destroy Alex Jones?
Do you now believe that the First Amendment is absolute, or do you believe that the First Amendment has limitations?
I believe that the First Amendment is absolute and that you can't be priorly constrained. Obviously, if you get found guilty by a real jury in a real trial for defamation or libel, then it doesn't have absolutes. It does have limits, but I wasn't given a free trial.
The First Amendment is unique in the world. Most countries don't have that. I think the United States is the only country that has this, right? This enshrined freedom of speech in our highest law. That's what they want to take away.
This is our rights being taken. This is a Hollywood production. I'm not saying Sandy Hook didn't happen. I'm saying the production of what I supposedly did and how big it became and this huge event. I'm not the Sandy Hook guy. I'm the guy that wrote the number one best-selling book in the world, The Great Reset and the War for the World. That's why the globalists hate me, is because I'm exposing their corporate worldwide tyranny.
The next hour, joined by Matt Baker in the third hour. I guess there really is not too much to say about this article, more than I already have. Pandemic amnesty argument. We'll just finish up here. Some of the quotes from the article. She says, "People who got it right for whatever reason may want to gloat for whatever reason." And it's not gloating, it's that you still haven't acknowledged that we were right the whole time. But okay. She says, "Those who got it wrong for whatever reason may feel defensive and retrench into a position that doesn't accord with the facts. All of this gloating and defensiveness continues to gobble up a lot of social energy and drive the culture wars, especially on the internet. These discussions are heated, unpleasant, and ultimately unproductive. In the face of so much uncertainty, getting something right had a hefty element of luck." And that's the Scott Adams argument, right? Where they're like, he's just like, everybody was guessing. And some people guessed right and some people guessed wrong. Were we guessing? Were we just making things up? I wasn't making anything up. I wasn't guessing. I was going off of the facts. I was saying what was true. I was using personal logic and well-established scientific norms to decide what was true and what wasn't. And now they want to look back and say, I was just guessing, that it was just luck that I was right. It was just luck that we were right about absolutely everything. And again, it's not just about gloating. It's not just about like listing off all the things we were right about. It's about pointing out that there wasn't anything we were wrong about. That there wasn't anything that it was like, okay, well, all right, the lockdowns, you guys were right about the lockdowns, but hey, the masks did help. So you admit that you were wrong about that. And we're like, okay, yeah, the mask, no, the mask didn't work. Social distancing didn't work. The lockdown was both futile and hugely destructive to the world economy. And we knew this all from the very beginning. So it's just, they're trying to rewrite history. They're trying to act like everybody was just uncertain at the time. It's completely despicable. And they say, similarly, getting something wrong wasn't a moral failing. See, I gotta disagree. I think it was a moral failing. I think it was because I think it was primarily driven by fear. I think it was primarily driven by cowardice and by a desire to just be with the in crowd, just not be ostracized, just not suffer the, you know, social ramifications of being right. So you chose to be wrong. That's a moral failing. This was a moral issue here. You people were immoral, deceptive, controlling, tyrannical, brutal, vicious. We didn't say we wanted people who wore masks to die. We didn't say we wanted people who got vaccinated to suffer and die. We warned them not to get vaccinated because we didn't want them to suffer and die. So not only were the people on their side wrong about everything, destroyed the entire world because of how wrong they were, but they were also vicious and unforgiving the entire time. We were right about everything. We were open to changing our minds if there was evidence that we were wrong. And we were actually loving in all of this. We were actually just begging for a seat at the table rather than just being buried continuously. So there was a moral aspect to this, and you people acted as immorally as it's possible to imagine. We weren't the ones dragging you out of stores. And even the language that they use in this, it shows they still haven't learned their lesson. And that's the important part. Not only are they trying to rewrite history and they need to be told to shove it, we know what happened. We know you people are despicable liars that tried to destroy us, and we survived and have won at the end of the day. This is a victory lap for us. But it's also not a matter of so she ends this by saying the standard saying is that those who forget history are doomed to repeat it, but dwelling on the mistakes of history can lead to a repetitive doom loop as well. Let's acknowledge that we've made complicated choices in the face of deep uncertainty and then try to work together to build back and move forward. Oh, we're just going to build back better, are we? You people need to be punished because you clearly haven't learned your lesson. It's not even a matter of like getting satisfaction for something that was done wrong to us back then. It's about trying to not let that happen again. And if you don't want this to happen again, if you don't want to live in a world in a media atmosphere where one side is viciously silenced while the other side is totally wrong and unquestioned and uncontested in the public sphere, if you want to avoid the existence of that contention ever again, then the people that did it need to be punished. There are multiple reasons why you punish a criminal. Part of it is to get that satisfaction, is to simply get some form of justice, like an eye for an eye. You do to them what they've done to somebody else just because it's how justice works these days. But the other part of it is preventing it from happening again in the future, from letting everybody know if you do what you did before, if you do it again, here's how you're going to be treated next time. So all the people that did this, not everybody, and we don't have to punish everybody, but they should apologize. They should humble themselves. They should realize what they did was wrong and actually ask for forgiveness. There's no asking for forgiveness in this story. There's no admitting that they were wrong. But the people that were in charge, people that led the pack, people that silenced the opposition and shut down the economy, they need to be punished as a preventative measure. Just to let everybody know that this is what happens when you use a medical emergency as an excuse to invoke tyranny. You have to be held to account for that. You have to be punished for it. You have to be made to feel the pain that you've been inflicted on others, and you have to be brought down from your high horse and humiliated in the way that you deserve. Strictly business. In the words of my hero, it's nothing personal, strictly business. For the sake of humanity, you people have to be punished. You people have to be held to account for what you did to everybody. Just like a murderer has to be held to account. You can forgive the murderer, that's fine. They still get strapped to the electric chair. Okay? And again, they haven't learned their lesson. They're still saying things like this. Moving on is crucial now because the pandemic created many problems we still need to solve. The pandemic did. Not them. They aren't taking responsibility for this. They aren't saying, okay, it was us. We created all these problems. They're still saying it was the pandemic that did it. It was the virus that shut down the schools. It was the virus that put a mask on your child. It was a virus that injected you with a poisonous vaccine. It was a virus that kept you away from family functions because you refused to submit to their jab. And it wasn't the virus. It was you people. It wasn't the pandemic. It was you. It was human beings who made this decision. So again, they haven't learned their lesson. They have so not learned their lesson, they're still blaming the pandemic on the things that they themselves did. So there you go. That's my take on this. You want pandemic amnesty? Well, you'll get it in hell. Where you're going, because the blood clot is slowly making its way towards your lung as we speak, because you got the vaccine, which you're still pushing, and you're still putting on childhood vaccine mandate lists. So without invoking any colorful four-letter words, I think that's all I can say about that. So no, the answer is no. A big, big fat no to your you're asking for amnesty. Just so retarded. Folks, InfoWars has been right the entire time. InfoWars told you from the very beginning, it leaked from a lab. We told you from the very beginning what the purpose of all of this was, that the 2 weeks to slow a spread would never end, that it was all an excuse to get mail-in ballots because they were going to cheat in the election, that the social distancing was made up out of nowhere, that the masks were ineffective. We knew all of this because all of the science had been settled well and long before any of this occurred. So you people listened to liars. You allowed them to silence and censor us, and you're suffering the consequences from it. But if you know, feel like making amends, if you feel like actually supporting the people that were telling you the truth and actually begging for freedom and begging for liberty. And by the way, we always said if you wanted to stay inside, if you wanted to put a mask on your cat, if you wanted to stay home while we were all having Thanksgiving dinner, you were allowed to do that. We never wanted to impose our views on you. We just wanted freedom. We just wanted to be able to be ourselves and to continue to live our lives and to have the world continue to actually operate. So no quarter, but also, you know, maybe you could support the people that were right the entire time. Go to InfoWarsStore.com if you want to support one of the only outlets, including, you know, did Daily Wire, were they against all this stuff? Was the Blaze coming out in full force against all of these measures? Or was it just InfoWars? Did we stand alone in 2020 as being right about literally everything, calling everything exactly how it played out? And, you know, maybe if for no other reason than that, you'd want to go to InfoWarsStore.com and support this singular outlet supporting the truth and actually fighting for your rights against a monolithic and tyrannical force.
Inflation is rising at its fastest rate in 40 years.
Crime is up in almost every category.
2 million people have come across the border, and that's a new record.
Afghan refugees facing federal charges.
The president warning the risk of nuclear Armageddon.
Joe Biden and his liberal friends in Washington have brought America to its knees. Stop the insanity.
Oh, son of a bitch.
I just caught you, American. You visited Band on Video. Oh, Mark Zuckerberg and others angry at you. Do what CNN says and do not visit Band on Video or I have to hurt you.
Kung Flu.
It comes from China.
It's our best seller. We first came out with it 5 years ago, and it was a moderate seller. But as folks tried Vitamin Mineral Fusion and experienced the way it made them feel and how healthy it made them, it has become our number one overall bestseller. And it's been sold out for a while, but it's finally back in stock. Vitamin Mineral Fusion doesn't just supercharge your immune system, but it helps every cellular function of the body. It has all the minerals, all the key amino acids, all of the essential vitamins that you need to live and be healthy. Essential means without these things, you die. And so much of the food is debased. There's so many chemicals in the environment. It is critical to bolster our body's defenses with a product like this. Now, there are other great vitamin mineral products out there, but this is amongst the very best. and it's a low price, and it funds the InfoWar. So the only way you lose is not taking action today, getting Vitamin Mineral Fusion finally back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com for 50% off. Vitamin Mineral Fusion, back in stock, InfoWarsStore.com.
I'm going to go to the hospital.